it is my pleasure and honor to introduce Larry Summers, a distinguished professor at Harvard, former president of Harvard, former Treasury Secretary under President Clinton, and top economic advisor to President Obama. Larry, you, in your comments that you just made, you said that banks, despite all the capital that they have raised, are not necessarily better capitalized or better protected from a downturn. Does that mean that we are as vulnerable now to a financial crisis as we were in 2008?
I wouldn't go quite that far, Lisa. We've done a whole set of things. Banks are much more liquid than they were in 2008. They've surely learned some lessons about the management of their activities from what has taken place in 2008. But the idea that we're on a new plateau of capital, which has been embraced by the regulatory community to an extent that surprised me very greatly when I looked at it, doesn't really show up in market data.
So just
you don't see it if you look at the value of their common stock relative to the value of their assets. If a business becomes much less levered, what you expect is that it's going to become much less volatile. And there isn't really much evidence for that in the pattern of bank stock prices. And so I am, relative to stock prices of other firms. And so I am concerned that we may not be in as strong a position as we think we are. I don't think that's an imminent threat right now, but we've not seen the last recession in the United States. We've not seen the last period of excess. And I'm not certain that our system is quite as robust as many people suppose.
You also said that you are skeptical of the idea that the Volcker Rule has been a net benefit to financial stability. So should it be repealed?
I think it's certainly, we certainly need to take a very hard hard look at what the consequences have been. You know, in some ways, it may already have happened. I'm not sure institutions that abandon businesses are going to go back to those businesses, no matter what. But it does seem to me that an idea that had had a certain argument in favor of it doesn't look to have been the contributor to financial stability that many hoped. There isn't really any evidence, even in all the retrospective since, that proprietary trading was an important contributor to the crisis. And I think that anything that removes a viable business line, anything that involves very large compliance costs, and anything that adds to illiquidity in markets is at least having some adverse effects on financial stability, and one would have to ask what the offsetting benefits were.
So do you think that if more regulations were rolled back, that it could actually increase financial stability by increasing profitability of banks?
I think the great mistake is to have a debate that's all about more regulation versus less regulation instead of better regulation versus worse regulation. And I think that more regulation on the shadow banking system, more regulation to make sure that banks are responsive to dynamic changes in their capital position is very much appropriate. But I think it is appropriate to review the huge compliance burdens that have been placed on many institutions to see whether those compliance burdens are really necessary. And yes, I think you caught a key point, Lisa, which is that a bank's expectation of future profitability offers security to those who lend it funds. And if you undermine that future profitability, you are undermining banks' borrowing, And that, in turn, is raising questions about financial stability.
Another point that you raised was the importance of regulators in the next downturn to be very open and to respond incredibly proactively to the first signs of a problem. You also recently wrote a column in the Washington Post talking about Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and how he has compromised his credibility with some of his recent comments. Do you believe that if he continues down this path, that this could compromise, for example, the Treasury's ability to fight a downturn or other policies being...
I think the Treasury Secretary's credibility is a crucial asset in any time of economic crisis. And I think that prudent Treasury Secretaries are very conscious of preserving that credibility. Preserving that credibility means being seen as a person who says what is analytically true rather than says what is politically convenient or expedient. And I think some of the statements that have been made outside of the financial regulatory area, particularly in the tax area, are hard to understand except through the prism of political expediency.
Like what?
The claims that tax cuts will raise revenue are, I think, ludicrous. The claims that the currently proposed tax cuts will benefit substantially the middle class relative to the wealthy are, I think, indefensible. And I don't think it serves us well for policies to be advocated in those kinds of terms.
As former Treasury Secretary, do you think that the idea of a 50-year or 100-year bond is potentially a positive?
I think it's something that deserves study if it is linked to commitments to long-term investments. And if we can commit to issuing long-term debt to finance high-return long-term investments, then I think it's something that can be very attractive. If it's a standalone, independent of making long-term investments, then I think the case is less clear, and it depends upon what the appetite for those financial instruments is and at what yield the Treasury will be able to sell them.
In a recent column that you wrote for the Financial Times, you were talking about how the Fed, if the Fed overdoes it now, they will have little room to respond in another financial downturn. How likely do you think it is for them to overdo it? And sort of what would you determine to be overdoing it at this point?
Yeah, that's a judgment that you have to make on an ongoing basis. I would just say that I think the risks of a recession seem to me, or a downturn, seem to me to be far more serious than the risks of developing substantially excessive inflation as we did in the 1970s. And so I think the Fed needs to be very cautious about rate hikes. And I think the Fed has tried to be very cautious about rate hikes. The tendency has been for the Fed to expect that over time it will be able to engage in more rate hiking than in fact it has been able to. And so I think the Fed has acted prudently in general, but it has sometimes been a bit over-optimistic about how much rate increasing it will be able to do in a prudent way.
What do you think the terminal level is for how high they can go in this particular cycle?
I think the neutral real rate is substantially reduced from where it was, and so the old idea of 4% seems pretty unlikely to me, but just where it will end, I'll wait for some more cards to be turned over before making that prediction.
One thing that I've heard at this conference is people are talking about how they are more concerned that benchmark borrowing costs decline rather than rise, that the idea of yields falling could be more of a threat to financial stability than rising. Would you agree?
I'm not sure. I think it depends on, you know, clearly if you're a pension fund and returns rise and there aren't increases in asset prices, that can be returns decline and there aren't increases in asset prices, that can be adverse for you. On the other hand, obviously lower rates are in many respects good for borrowers. I think on balance, I would tend to think that more liquidity and lower rates tends, at least in a short-run sense, to be favorable for financial stability. I obviously would recognize the concerns that over the longer term, if they lead to unsustainable asset price inflation or lead to the creation of bubbles, that could be problematic.
And lastly, I just would love to get your thoughts on how big of a risk we are right now of another recession in the near term.
Lisa, I don't think that, I don't see the roots of a near-term recession in any of the current data flow. On the other hand, I'm very much aware that you look at the current, you look at history, and people never predict recessions a year in advance. And so something, things have a way of coming up. I think the right reading of the data is that the odds are about 20% a year, that if the economy has not yet gone into recession, that it will go into recession in the next year. And that would seem to me to be a reasonable estimate right now.
Thank you so much, Professor Summers. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Larry Summers, distinguished professor at Harvard, former president of Harvard, former Treasury Secretary under President Clinton, and top economic advisor to President Obama.